Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Greetings, everybody. You listen to a program called Avant Gardening, coming from the Wairarapa, New Zealand. Our presenters this morning, well, we're doing it in the morning, is myself, Margaret, Anna Marie and Marnie. We've been together quite a long time now, so we've covered quite a lot of topics. But today we're going to be talking about composting, because we've mentioned soil and health of soil. So today is the composting day. Now, Marnie, do you want to, because I didn't know there are two different forms, basically. So we're going to talk hot and cold. Seeing you are hot today. No, you're cold. We must excuse Marnie's been quite ill, so we might have a cough or two.
Yeah, she might have a cough or two in here. Composting, there are lots and lots of different ways to do it, but fundamentally it comes down to two things, hot or cold. And the hot or cold refers to the what happens in the heap and what's also about how fast that contents of that compost heap break down. So if you are hot composting, you are creating an ideal mix of different ingredients in the heap that will heat it up very quickly. And that heat is the thing that helps to break down the contents of that heap. Cold composting, which I think a lot of people do by default, is where you chuck a bunch of stuff into a heap and at some point in the future it'll be broken down enough to put on your garden.
Yep. So what are your main ingredients in a compost heap?
Green and brown. So you have nitrogen containing ingredients, which is the green stuff. So that's things like grass clippings and basically any rubbish that comes out of your garden, weeds, whatever else. The brown stuff is dry material. So it's things like branches, small branches and wood chips and anything that's not lush, anything that's not green and has come out of your garden. You can put pretty much anything into a compost heap, ultimately, for a hot composting anyway. Even things like bones will break down in hot compost. They won't in cold.
What have bones got in them? I mean, why?
Phosphorus.
Oh, yeah. Phosphorus, calcium, yeah. All sorts of lovely things in there that I tend to put. This is going to sound awful now, but I tend to put dead things in my compost. So if I have sheep, and if I have a lamb that dies, and I don't happen to be planting a tree at the moment, because normally I'll just put them straight under the tree, then I'll pop that lamb into the middle of the compost and bury it in the compost. Mm. And when you hot compost, the whole thing disappears.
So, what's the hot composting?
So when things are hot composting, you're trying to encourage an ideal environment for an aerobic environment, not an anaerobic environment, which is why it's really important to get that combination of the green and the brown when you do layers. If you have too much green, like, you know, when you put a big pile of grass clippings in a pot, in a big stack, and if they're quite damp, then it starts to ferment and it produces this nasty green, black, slimy mess because you haven't got enough air in there and your bacteria have turned into sort of like a fermenty one, and it's not very good. And sometimes it's not a bit like sick.
It's different bacteria, actually, because aerobic and anaerobic bacteria are different. Mm. Anaerobic bacteria tend to work in very low oxygen-deprived environments. Mm.
And that's when you get the slush.
Which is fine, but that's when you get that's when you get all the sludgy stuff, and that's when you get the stink.
Yeah. Mm. Right.
Because it forms.
So that's one of the items. If you start smelling your compost, not a great idea. It smells beautiful when it is.
It is lovely. Just like silage, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So the reason the compost heats up is actually because of the bacteria in it, little thermophiles, which are a bacteria that when they're respiring, you know, so when they're using energy, that's why the compost heats up. It's actually a bacterial process.
Right.
And so it gets hotter and hotter and hotter. It gets up to about 70 degrees, and then it's not self-sustaining. It will actually kill the bacteria in there from the heat. So they actually
They do their job and then they die.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
That sounds pretty simple.
Which is why you turn the compost, because you've got that heat on the inside, and then you flip it over and then it comes out. Which is why compost only get to 70 degrees as well. You do have to be careful with things like, because occasionally this process happens in wet hay when people put it in hay barns.
Yes, and it catches light.
And it can catch on fire. Yes. You do have to be quite, you know, stacking.
That's a bit dramatic.
Yeah, it is.
A little fire at the bottom of the garden, you know.
Yeah, well, you've got to be real careful.
It's a big stack when that happens, though. And because the heat can't really get out, because it's in a covered shed, so there's a few processes going on there. The difficulty with hot compost is that the reasons that people use it is because, which Marnie will tell us, it kind of limits the amount of disease in your garden, and it, what's the other thing? Well, it kills weed seeds.
It kills weed seeds. It creates compost more quickly.
Yeah.
But it is more work.
A lot more work.
You have to arrange the compost in layers in the right proportion.
Mm.
And then you have to turn it because the middle compost, but because the outside doesn't get hot.
It's a bit like kneading. Really?
It is a bit like kneading bread, so you have to turn the outside to the middle to give the middle the opportunity to compost and to introduce air, because the pile needs oxygen.
Mm.
So it is a bit of work. It's not as simple as just leaving it in a big heap and walking away and coming back in 18 months.
Which is what I do. I don't really believe in hot compost, because it doesn't, to me, it's the only thing that actually hot composts, as far as I'm aware, in nature, is an alligator pile. So alligators will make a hot compost where they put the eggs in.
How did an alligator get into your garden?
I know, but I was thinking, I said, okay, so what actually happens in nature?
Not just alligators do that, there's a few species that do that.
Okay, yeah, I think said that, and then I thought, well, I think there's a bird out there that does the same thing too. But so it doesn't really happen in nature, composting like that. Composting, it generally tends to be a cold compost where leaves fall on the ground, organic matter falls on the ground, animals poo on the ground, and then the little organisms are straight in there and doing their little thing, kind of thing. Yeah. So I much prefer a cold compost, because I think it brings in, it's more natural, and it's, yes, you've still got the weed seeds, yes, you've possibly got some more disease in there, but it's easier, much, much easier. I just chuck stuff in a bin. I've got lots of compost bins. I've got 19 different compost bins in my garden, all different types, all different, you know, big, huge brick ones that are really large, like sort of they have 2 cubic metres in there. And then I've got the little Dalek ones that are, you know, just the compost thing.
These little
bin
things.
Yeah, just little bin things. You've got to keep the moisture level, you know, it either rains on it. As long as it can drain out the bottom, it's fine, you know. And I just leave that for a year. 6 months to a year.
But now you brought up something about bins and shapes and things like that.
Mm.
Now, I know my mom and dad always had a pit. They dug a pit and then they threw everything in it, and then during that time they did get in there and sort of turn it around. But mostly we now see is people build 3 bins, you know.
Yeah,
first one, second one, third one.
It's such a lot of work.
I know, you've got to toss them over each time.
I compost in situ. I chuck a lot of stuff just on the ground, you know, like comfrey leaves and branches and leaves and things that have fallen down. I just make piles around trees and hay bales. I put hay bales around trees as well, and they just rot down there.
Okay.
And the tree roots get in there and the worms do their thing and stuff. So that to me is the easiest form of composting. Big piles of leaves, you know, they're just going to do their thing. And to me, it's just a lot easier. I think we can make it really complicated.
I know, I love you too. You always think of the easy way around. I'm a very lazy guy. On the side of the
Absolutely. If it's not enjoyable, don't do it.
I think it's, as with all things, it's a bit horses for courses with composting. You use the thing that works for you and the thing that's in the right way to do it for that situation. So I think we've talked before about the compost bins I have behind my peach trees.
Oh, they're fantastic.
Yeah, so I've got 4 peach trees. They're only about 6 years old now, but they're enormous, and I've chopped them down a couple of times because each one has...
I think we would prune.
Yeah, prune.
we're not doing little...
You haven't seen me up there with a chainsaw.
Oh, yeah.
each one of them has got one of those, I think there are 300-litre... black plastic compost bin, the Daleks with the lids on.
Yep.
And each tree in the row has one of those behind it. And whenever I've got stuff for composting, scraps out of the kitchen or stuff out of the garden or whatever it is that I've got, or seaweed if I happen to have been down to the beach, and I just chuck it in there. I don't actually care how long that takes to break down because it's constantly feeding those trees all the time.
It hasn't got a bottom to it?
Nope, hasn't got a bottom. It just sits on the ground,
yeah,
right behind the trunk, right behind it.
A very good idea.
And it constantly feeds those trees all the time. As it breaks down, I never take any compost out of those bins because although the level in those bins drops and I keep adding new stuff in and adding new stuff in, I don't bother layering it because I'm not bothered about it breaking down quickly. Mm. But I just keep putting stuff in the bins. It's the level slowly drops. I keep putting more in. The tree keeps getting fed 24/7, 365 days of the year. Those trees are huge. They produce enormous peaches, lots and lots of them. And that works really, really well.
Yeah.
Okay, but that works well in that situation.
Yes.
So if I want compost for my veggie garden, I wouldn't do it like that because I don't want to wait that long for the compost. And I don't have that much space on this raised bed system that I've got to take up space putting compost bins everywhere. So I have a separate compost bin for that all the rubbish goes into, and that I do turn, and that I do make into compost more quickly, a hot compost more quickly. Also, because I want to kill anything that's in that compost. I want to kill the weed seeds. I want to kill any pathogens. Because if I'm putting that stuff back onto the veggie gardens, I don't want a disease burden in there. So I want to kill whatever is in that soil, so I hot compost.
So that's the advantage of hot composting. Now, when you were talking about that and you talked about aerating, the idea of putting a pole down the middle or a pipe.
I have a worm farm in my... You can get a piece of alkaline pipe and you... or like a drainage...
Yes, that's what I was thinking of.
Put holes in it.
Yep.
You can pop it into the middle of your... So I've got a strawberry barrel that I do this with. But you're talking specifically about air rather than worms, aren't
you? Yes, I'm talking about air. Or is it watering? But I've seen it where they do it, you know, a big piece down the middle. But
yeah, they do.
I don't know if that really works. No.
It's complicated, and now suddenly you can't turn it if you're using a tractor. So I have seen this in giant windrow compost farms where they will put a pipe through to get the air.
Okay, so it's all about air there.
Well, how are you shifting your compost? Because now you've got this big pipe in the middle of it.
Yeah. You pull the big pipe out of the middle of it and then get your tractor in there.
Well, no, it kind of went down and along, you know.
No, I just thought it was like a chimney almost.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, just to get back to it, you're saying, things that live in compost.
Mm.
Well, you know, rats. You've got Mrs. Ratty.
I've got Mrs. Ratty's compost bin. I love Mrs. Ratty's compost bin.
So that's actually something one must be aware of. That, and the reason, I'm not saying that yours attracted them, but compost, what you throw in compost heaps, can attract vermin.
Well, because Mrs. Ratty's compost bin has got kitchen scraps that we can't feed to the chickens.
Okay.
So it's got we've also got a chicken composting system as well, which I'll get to. But you can't feed certain things to chickens. You can't feed them avocados. You can't feed them asparagus because it makes their yolks go green.
That's interesting.
Oh, I know it does happen. You can't feed them onion skins because they just won't eat it. Citrus, they just won't eat that either, and you end up with these kind of things kind of putrefying in your chicken thing, which isn't very nice in chicken. So you pop those into a different compost system. And with my one, it was Mrs. Ratty's compost bin because she moved in pretty quickly and she just turns all of this into lovely compost.
Because she's probably weeing and pooing as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Go, Mrs. Ratty.
So heat can attract and also...
Not heat.
Not heat, sorry. Food.
It's the food that's attracted.
Okay.
You can put meat in that, although I feed the meat to my chickens, but you can put fat in there, she'll chew that up, you can put in dairy, cheese and things, which not necessarily would you give to your chicken. No, you give dairy and cheese.
I absolutely would not do this. I absolutely would not recommend having anybody wandering around with a rat wandering around in their compost bin because God alone knows what they're bringing with them.
It's not the plague.
The
plague. Okay. Visions of bringing out the dead.
The issue is if you're feeding... a rat population, that rat population can get out of hand really quickly.
Yes, we know that.
Mrs. Reddy stays in her compost bin because the other rats that aren't in Mrs. Reddy's compost bin do not end well.
Okay.
Mm. Oh, she's carnivorous.
No.
We won't go down that road. But so getting back to what you add, I've always heard you don't add meat.
No.
That's because it attracts rats.
Because it attracts rats. So anybody who keeps chickens will tell you that as soon as you start keeping any form of food stuff around where it's not in a sealed tight bin, and even sometimes if it is in a sealed tight bin, you're going to end up with a rodent problem, whether it's mice or rats. Most commonly rats, because they just do the whole kitchen scraps thing. They'll choose through pretty much anything, yeah. I don't have chickens at the moment, but when I did, I would feed them kitchen scraps. But I only feed them as much kitchen scraps as they can clean up in a couple of hours.
You don't have it lying around.
Like Anna was saying before, you end up with all this putrefying, nasty mess in the bottom of your chuck run. So I feed them as much as they can deal within a couple of hours. And then if I've got anything left, then it'll either go to them tomorrow or it'll go to somebody else's chickens.
So the no-nos in a compost heap are?
Dairy, meat, fat, anything that can't break down quickly, anything that's basically non-vegetable, anything that's going to attract a rat. You have to remember, things like dairy, cheese, and any of those meat, and particularly meat fat, are extremely high in calories. And that is what your average rat is looking for. Mm. They're looking for a high-calorie meal because it's a big win for a rat. Mm. So if you can keep them, if you put that into your compost, a rat's going to come along and go, holy moly, it's my birthday.
Yep.
And they're going to get in there and they're going to want to eat that. So your Mrs. Ratty there.
It's lovely.
If she's eating that stuff, fair enough. Yep. Personally, I wouldn't do that.
No.
And so any meat scraps or dairy that I have, I would feed to my chickens. Direct.
Okay, so this is again having a sort of a system where you're using it in different ways, scraps in different ways.
Mm. Yes.
So
we also
it's not everything. It's not a rubbish heap. That's the
We've got
to really be careful of. But I mean, people use, just saying that, but you can also use cardboard or newspaper or shredded paper because that's carbon.
That's carbon. That's the brown.
But not the one that's wrapped the meat in it.
Preferably not, because it has the meat juices on it. So you've got the same problem. I think, as with all things with composting, I know people who get all wrapped around the axles about putting printed cardboard into a compost heap because of the ink. So, you know, the ink isn't organic, so I'm not going to put it in my compost. That's lovely. Personally, I think it's a step too far, because I will quite happily put pretty much any cardboard, anything that's not glossy, I'll put into a compost bin. I'm not pressed about it, but I know people who don't for exactly that reason, because the ink's not organic.
Actually, a lot of those inks now are made out of vegetable dye.
Yeah.
So then a lot more organic than they used to be.
Yeah.
The heavy chemicals, the cadmium has kind of gone out of it a bit.
But that's their choice. Personally, I don't mind.
Yeah.
I'm not pressed about it. But for other people, it's an issue. For some people, it's the way that you compost and what you choose to compost. Presumably, if you are vegan or vegetarian, you wouldn't consider putting scraps perhaps from other people in your household who aren't vegan or vegetarian, you wouldn't consider putting those scraps in the compost, because then that compost that you're growing your vegetables with contains traces of meat or dairy, which you don't want. So you compost in the way that suits the way that you garden and the food that you eat, your diet.
But now we've talked about, you know, what you add to it. We didn't mention manure.
So people do
add manure.
Yep, I do all the time.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Some people use, so there's a humanure thingy as well, where it's human poo that they put in there. That's a whole different composting system as
well. Oh, you've just been all controversial this morning.
Yeah.
It's a step too far. Part of this program, we can talk about the thing. But just animal.
Back to the animals. Yeah. So you've got different sorts of poo, or different sorts of animal manure have got different quantities of nitrogen and other minerals in there as well. So horse poo has got an awful lot more carbon in it, but it also heats up because it's got that carbon in it. Chicken poo is very, very high in nitrogen because birds don't urinate. Birds produce something called uric acid crystals.
Yeah.
Which is the white stuff in bird poo. And so that comes out as a solid form. They can't carry around a bladder full of water. True. But when they're flying, you know, they evolved to have a very efficient flying system that didn't carry a lot of weight. So that's how, when they're producing their poo, there's an awful lot of nitrogen in there. So it's very, very hot. So you would never put just straight chicken poo in your garden.
No, that's a no-no.
Yeah, because it's too hot. The nitrogen's going to burn the roots and then the plant's going to die. Right. So you tend to always compost that first.
So you add it into your compost, not too much. But
I chuck it on.
Okay.
I'm doing a cold compost system. So I
put it in I sort of layer it into my vegetable garden compost the same as I would anything else. So... Yeah, you know, I put if I'm mowing the lawns, I'll put a layer of grass clippings in there, not a thick layer.
Mm.
And then if I'm emptying the wood burner, I'll put a layer of ash in there. If I'm, you know, if I've got kitchen scraps, I'll put a layer of those in there. I'm not standing there religiously going, oh, I can't put any more kitchen scraps in there because it's time for wood ash. You know, I'm not that particular about it, but. Mm. But I do find that if you layer it a little bit like that, it's a lot less work for a start. So you just layer your stuff in there. I tend to put sheep poo in mine because I keep sheep, so I can just go out to the paddock and pick some up. Cow poo's great.
Horse poo. Horse poo's fantastic.
Horse poo's good, but I found with the horse poo, you need a bit of lime on there as well because it's quite acidic. I tend to put lime into my compost bins anyway because it's very rich in, well, everything. There isn't a lot of bulk material in there.
Mm.
So one of the layers that I put in is just take a handful of lime and just scatter a handful of lime in there as well.
We get it accidentally because we sweep our paths, which have got lime. So as we're gathering up all the leaves and the sticks...
It's got a bit of lime in it.
Yeah.
So lime helps the decomposing?
It stops it becoming too acidic.
Okay.
Helps with the pH.
So, as
we're talking, there's actually a few extra things that you can add. It's not just kitchen things, you know, leaves and grass. There are these other things like lime and manure.
Yep.
And you also mentioned seaweed.
Yes.
Which we've talked about in making seaweed...
seaweed tea.
Tea. Yeah. But you can add it straight into your compost?
Yeah. I just chop it up a wee bit. I do it two ways, actually. So we go down to the beach after a storm and there's a load of seaweed knocking around. Get a fadge full, bring it home. Some of it I'll chop up and put it through the compost bin, just put a layer in each of the compost bins. Some in behind each of the peach trees, whatever. Some of it I just put direct onto the garden beds and treat it like a mulch.
Mm. Yes. But we've always used seaweed because we used to live down in Island Bay, so it was quite easy going to collect a bit of seaweed.
Mm. I think it's about having a good variety of things. If you've just got one thing in your compost bin, you've just got your grass, you've just got your branches, or if you've only got one thing, it doesn't make good compost because compost should be... Should be like a good fruit cake. It should have lots of interesting things in it. You know?
Yes. But I'm interested when you talked about putting an animal, you know, you talked about a dead thing.
Blood and bone, basically.
It's blood and bone. But what about the wool? The wool will break down?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Everything goes.
Because you can use sheep wool, you can use dags, you can use crutchings, shearing sheds, and that's very, very high in nitrogen.
Yes.
Because it's a protein, wool is a protein, and it's got a lot of nitrogen in it.
Yeah.
We use wool or dags as a mulch.
Right. One other thing that is not always talked about. I noticed watching something the other day, and they cut the word out. Urine.
Yes.
You know, find your little boys, tell them to go and wee on the compost heap.
Yes.
Why?
Because it's very high in nitrogen.
Yep.
Really high. Okay. So a lot of composts stall because they run out of nitrogen. So you've got too much brown in there. So things that have got lots of nitrogen, compost heaps that have got lots of nitrogen will always work really quite well unless you've got too much sludgy stuff, like too many grass clippings. But if you want to restart a compost bin, if it's suddenly got cold, then you wee on it.
Yes.
And it's sort of...
I always joke with my partner when we're out and about in the garden, and he'll say, "I'm just going for a wee. Compost bin's over there. go wee on my compost."
Yeah. For boys, it's much easier. We won't go down that road, but yes. But it is something that it's been used for years.
Oh, I absolutely. Mean, you know, people absolutely. Are going to be in the It's also bin. Sterile as well. People forget that. Mm. You know, when it comes out of your bladder, it is actually sterile. Might pick up a few bacteria on the way, but it hasn't got E. coli in it. It's fine.
It's about using what you've got, isn't it?
It is, absolutely.
I think with anything to do with the compost, you use what you've got. You can go out and buy compost, and that's the quickest, easiest, fastest, but definitely not the cheapest way to put compost in your garden.
Mm.
But if you're making use of what you already have, if you're recycling what you already have, it's a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing, we haven't got much more time, but do you need to chop up your waste? I mean...
It goes faster if you do.
Yeah.
So it is faster.
Yeah.
Because
the composting action happens on the edges of the material, so the more edges you've got, the faster it composts.
That's fantastic. So just a quick summary up as we finish this off. It can be a heap, it can be in a container.
It can be on the ground.
It can be on the ground, it can be dug in a hole, but you need the different ingredients to make it work. And
yeah, I mean, I just do piles of leaves.
Yeah, and that, well, that's another
that
good old leaf
down.
Compost, fantastic.
Yep, I mean, a hay bale is going to compost down, leaves are going to compost down.
And
everything's going to break down. It's all decomposition, it's all going to break down. It's just a matter of time.
Yes.
You know,
and we didn't mention a bit of water every now and again. You need to keep it reasonably
damp. Rain's useful.
Rain is very useful.
Yeah, and it does need to be moist, the bacteria won't.
Well, let's start ending off here, because in the next slot we can talk about the different forms of composting, and you can start talking about human waste. But sorry. So thank you for this today. Thank you.
Thank you.